In the last 2 weeks, Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, and their top surrogates have made nearly a dozen campaign stops in Ohio, reaffirming the Buckeye State's place as a crucial swing state in presidential politics. I talked to the author of a new book, The Bellwether, Why Ohio Picks the President, about how Ohio came to play that role and whether it's likely to continue past 2016. Kyle Condick is managing editor of the influential political newsletter Saboteau's Crystal Ball. But he got his start as a political reporter in Northeast Ohio, and he's continued to watch the outsized role it plays in presidential campaigns. He notes what distinguishes Ohio as a swing state is that it's actually an amalgam of states. The North was settled by the Connecticut Yankees, the center by mid-Atlantic states, and the South by Virginia. In that way, he says, the nation's 17th state was the first modern state.
And then as the nation changed, Ohio changed. So when you had a big influx of German and Irish immigrants, Ohio got an average number of those folks. When African-Americans started moving up north, Ohio ended up having a decent-sized African-American population. And also Eastern European and Italian immigration in the 20th century. Look at the places that became Democratic during the New Deal. A lot of those places were the ones that had recent immigrants in them. And so a lot of people who came over to work in blue-collar jobs, FDR converted a lot of those folks to being Democrats. And a lot of the counties that became Democratic during the New Deal, they've remained Democratic pretty much ever since.
So is it a mistake for reporters to come to Ohio looking for that one bellwether county?
In my book, I did some investigation as to whether there was a bellwether county in Ohio, and the one that comes closest is Stark, which is where Canton is, which probably won't be much of a surprise because that county gets a lot of attention every 4 years. However, no Ohio county votes closer to the national average than the state does as a whole. A few other reasons why Ohio historically, I think, has been kind of this bellwether state, very reflective of the national average. None of Ohio's regions have ever dominated the state's voting. Northeast Ohio has always been kind of the big population center of the state, but the other parts of the state can overwhelm it, and also other parts of the state are growing faster now than Northeast Ohio is. And also, Ohio doesn't have a dominant industry. It has a lot of important industries, but it's not like a coal state like West Virginia is, and coal isn't part of its statewide political culture. I mean, it has a lot of agriculture, but it's not politically known as an agriculture state. So politicians don't come to Ohio with really niche issues, I don't think. I think they come to Ohio with a nationalized message, which makes sense because I think Ohio is a good reflection of the nation.
But your book notes that the nation hasn't remained the same, nor has Ohio.
So if you start in 1896, when Ohio and William McKinley, as Republican, gets elected in Ohio and nationally, he wins 9 of the 10 most populous counties. The two most Democratic counties in Ohio were Holmes County, which is Amish country, and Mercer County, which is a very Catholic county and also rural. If you go into 2012, Obama carried 9 of the 10 most populous counties, and the two most Republican counties were Mercer and Holmes. So a lot of the component pieces in the state have changed quite dramatically, and yet those changes all kind of tend to cancel themselves out so that the state has remained pretty tightly tethered to the national average.
So what are you seeing in play heading into this fall's election?
So 2016 could be a little bit different of election than we've had previously because Donald Trump has shown immense strength amongst kind of white working class people, basically whites without a college degree. And, you know, there are a lot of those kinds of people in Ohio, I would say particularly in Appalachian Ohio and the Mahoning Valley. The flip side is that Trump has also shown unusual weakness for a Republican amongst college-educated whites. And there are a lot of wealthy suburban Republican counties in Ohio that typically vote Republican. Places like Medina County is a really good example, in Geauga in Northeast Ohio. Republicans need to get a lot of votes out of those places in order to win in the state. The question I have about Ohio is there might be a lot of change, but does the overall statewide result change all that much?
That's Kyle Condick, author of The Bellwether, Why Ohio Picks the President. He notes that Ohio has grown older and wider than the nation overall. So one big question for 2016 is whether it will remain the bellwether in 2020. I'm ML Schulze, 89.7 WKSU.